Let's turn to the book of Revelations, all right? Now we have God's Word. Okay, let's stand as we read the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. This is the last of our, last week in our church month. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. If for a change, you will read the first verse, then I will read the second verse, okay, and so on. Okay, ready? Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, ready, 1, 2, 3, begin.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead.
Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God.
Remember therefore how thou hast received him and heard, and hold fast that which I have. Therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
Verse 4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5,
he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
In verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Lord, I believe with all my heart you will speak to us today. Father, we thank you that you have brought us into your midst. Lord, you promised that when two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. Lord, we remember the times in the Bible when Jesus, you were teaching and many people were listening. Lord, we want you to teach us today. And Lord, thy word says to us, let he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And Father, we pray that you will speak from heaven today. Lord, we pray for one person who may not know Jesus as their personal Savior. O Lord, help them to realize Christianity is not a religion, it's a personal relationship with a living God, a living Savior. And as a result of this relationship, lives can change, we can change, bad habits can go away, as long as we would listen and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray today, Lord, that you will take this opportunity, this 1 hour or so, that Father, you will speak to us in a special way. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in our lives, in our church life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. That's not quite the way to start.
Service, but I know.
No worries, okay. Well, as we close the month of church, okay, every month we actually have a theme, all right? Okay, that's okay. Ruth is okay, really. I'm not talking about you. It's okay. Okay. All right. She said it's fine now. Okay, as we close the month of church, I hope the Lord will speak to us specifically. And remember, the church is special to God. Because Jesus Christ, the Bible said, died for it, Acts chapter 20. So as we have read, I'll give you a little bit of background into Revelation. Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 3 are the final chapters of the local church in the Bible. Did you know that? That's the final time that God speaks to the churches. That's in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. You will not find the church after Revelation chapter 4. Why? Because it has been raptured. Amen? We have been taken out. There will be one day, Christian, if you are genuinely, if you are really a Bible-believing Christian, if you believe God in your heart and have trusted Christ as your Savior, one day, God is going to take us up into heaven. The Bible mentioned that there will be a lot of signs about the last days, okay? And one of the signs that is really kind of frightening me a little bit is I think it has happened a few weeks already, but it struck me about, you know, the E. coli virus or the bacteria in Europe, all right? And they say it's a new strain, and they cannot even find where it came from. That's scary because a lot of food sources have been affected, all right? I think even in many of us will remember the SARS, and whereby thousands upon thousands of well, chicken and pigs and many animals are just culled and we're not supposed to eat them. And AVA has, now's a good time to join AVA because you have a lot of work to do. Okay, there'll be high demand. But you know, but all over the world, food sources are being affected. Why? Because of pestilences. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus has already predicted in the last days, there will be an increase in earthquakes, an increase in different things. The typhoons and tsunamis are hitting different places almost every day. On the news, almost every day, you can find indications of all these things. Now, what does that tell us? Jesus is coming soon. Oh, we can curse, the weather is so bad, and all these things about earthquakes, you know, in different countries, like in China, of course, there were major earthquakes and tremors all over this world. What does it point to? It points to the fact that Jesus is coming soon. And you know what? As we close month on church, I believe the Lord wants to speak to His churches. And I hope that God will speak to us today. You know, the church at Sardis is one of the privileged churches to whom letters are sent. You know, it's a privilege to receive a letter from God. And so the church at Sardis was a privileged church. Now, why is it a privilege? Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. If you were study, as you read just now, the church of Sardis, Jesus didn't have much to say. Jesus didn't have much good things to say about the church. But you know why it's still a privilege? Because in Revelation 3, 19, the Bible says, "As many as I love." As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I don't know about you, that's a privilege to be loved by God. You know, sometimes children, can I say this? Oh, children, okay, look at me, all the children, right? When your mommy and daddy scold you, it's because, don't be shy, come on. When your mommy and daddy scold you or spank you, it's because they love you, okay? Don't get the wrong, "Oh, mommy, you don't love me anymore." Children like to blackmail, emotionally blackmail their parents. "Oh, you don't love me anymore, that's why you spank me." No. If you listen to the Bible more than your own thinking, the Bible teaches as many those I love, God says, you will chasten. Can I say this for parents? I mean, I'm not trying to stretch the Father's Day message over here, but if you don't chasten your children, it means you don't love them. You can give all the reasons in the world. God just says, you don't discipline your children, it means you don't love them. Okay? So that's something for you to think about. But let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I just want to touch on this a little bit because I want us to understand God's heart. I want to lay the lay the foundation before we go into the church at Sardis. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 4 to 11, for Christians, the Bible says, "Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." The word scourge is the same word used in book of Matthew chapter, sorry, John chapter 19, verse 1. They took Jesus and scourged him. That's the same word. It means when God finds things in our lives that are not consistent or that are not right according to what He tells us, He will scourge us. When He scourges us, it means there will be pain. And the pain, do you realize one thing? Do you realize, how many of you have never experienced pain in your life? Put up your hand. Do you know why God put pain in your life? I'm not talking about emotional pain, I'm just talking about pain. Okay? Where's Brother Desmond? Brother Desmond had tremendous pain during the church camp. He was trying to block a ball, alright, because they're playing captain's ball, so he jumped. And he fell to the ground in tremendous pain. You know where did the pain come from? It came from here. Okay? And because he hasn't jumped for a long time, in terms of exercise, he's this side actually cramped. So he couldn't move for a while. You should have been there, it was funny, okay? You just stand and he said he's, well, use the word, his backside cramp, you know, he cannot move. And you know, do you know why God put pain in our life? Pain is given to us to indicate that there is a problem. I say that again, pain is given to us to indicate that there is a problem. That's why God put pain in our life. Do you realize it is God's grace to put pain in your life? Because if you do not know that there is a problem, then you will not deal with it. You know one of the sad things about cancer, some of you may have experienced this or know this. Sometimes you don't know that you have cancer until the last stage. When all the symptoms start to come out and you feel pain and all that. You know, in some of these they call it the silent killer and all that. So, but God put pain so that He will indicate there's a problem. And so sometimes God does have to introduce pain into our lives. Can I say this? Whether you are a Christian or whether you are not a Christian, pain has the same effect. If you're a Christian, God brings pain into your life to bring you back to Him. If you have pain in your life as a non-Christian, it is also God's will for you to go back to Him. Does that make sense? That God wants to bring this up in our lives. You see, as far as God is concerned, rebuke and discipline are essential elements of our growth and tokens of His love for us as His children. Okay, this is what the Bible teaches us. Some thoughts about, let's turn to Revelation chapter 3 now. Some thoughts I give you before we go into four things I believe God wants us to learn in our church life. In Revelation chapter 1, alright? Some thoughts on this passage in Revelation chapter 3. The Lord Jesus is the speaker in this passage. Okay? The Lord Jesus is the speaker. I just give you from Revelation 1 verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Alright, and so there was John the Apostle standing on the Lord's Day, and he heard a voice, and the voice said, whatever you see, I want you to send these letters to the seven churches. And John turned around, and the Bible said in verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Okay, the Bible is pretty clear. The image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus is the speaker of this passage in Revelation chapter 3. He is also portrayed as having the seven spirits of God. Okay, Revelation 3 verse 1 talks about the seven spirits. Okay, there's no seven spirits of God. The word seven is a number of perfection. Okay, it refers to the Holy Spirit of God. Alright, this indicates that He possesses the Holy Spirit of God. It indicates that He is God. Okay? He also holds the seven stars in His hand. Revelation chapter 3 verse 2. This thing saith He, verse 1, this thing saith He, that the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. What does the seven stars in the Bible stand for? Now, it depends on your perspective. Okay? Now, if you interpret the Bible from a literal perspective, you have to find out, what is this stars? Whereas there are certain camps that interpret it from an allegorical or from what we call an allegorical perspective, and they try to put different meanings into it. The Bible is the best commentator on itself. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. What are the seven stars? The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The word angels means a messenger. Literally, the pastor. And so when Jesus says, I want you, John the Apostle, whatever you see, write in seven letters and send these letters to the angels of the churches, the pastors of the churches. Okay? And the seven stars here, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. It literally means a pastor, an angel, a messenger. You know what? This message literally is for me. Alright? In the book of Sardis. That means this passage, as I was thinking on this passage over this whole week, I ask myself this question, is this passage for us as Ambassador Baptist Church? It's scary because it's to me and I have to think on that. If no, we had better realize that this may be just a warning for us, that we need to be very careful. But if it is, and we are in this condition, then we had better identify the areas whereby we have come short of and deal with them. Do you know what's the condition of the Church of Sardis? Let me just give you a background. The problem with the Church of Sardis is this. They live in an environment that is different from the other six churches. The other six churches you find is filled with doctrinal error. That means teachings that are wrong. They also filled with persecution. But the church at Sardis didn't have any of the major problems. In other words, they were free from persecution. They were free to live. They were free to have freedom of worship. They could do anything they want. Okay? There were no major problems from the outside of the church to disturb their Christianity. So the church was safe and there were no major persecution, unlike the church of Smyrna. Some people literally died. Alright, there were many martyrs. Christians who say, no, I'm not going to compromise. And they either cut off their heads or they burn. Some in some places of this world, you know, maybe in places like the Malay country, the Muslim countries, that there's a persecution of Christians. That these Sardis didn't have any problems. And so what happened was, they were saved. There was no major heresies or problems that were influencing them from the within. In this state, it's very important, in this state of comfort, in this state of no problems, in this state and condition whereby everything was nice and wonderful, everything provided for, they slided back to their old ways. Ambassador Baptist Church has been through a lot. One of the things that we have been through over the last few months was, number one, we've got a place. Number two, the landlord has allowed us to renew this place for the next 2 years. Number three, are you ready? The landlord has reduced our rental by $200. It just gets better. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
God is blessing us. But at the same time, it's interesting that God is introducing this passage in Sardis. Very much as a warning for us. When things get comfortable, will we be also, like the church at Sardis, sliding back to our old ways? When your bank account is good, when you have a job, when you have a career, you know, if you're not a Christian today, sometimes you may find, well, I have everything in my life, so why should I need God? I have everything provided for, why should I need God? You know what Jesus says? It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know why? Because I don't need God. I got everything I have. It's easier for a camel. It's easier for us to go through the eye of a needle, a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to be aware of that. What happened was in the church of Sardis, they said, well, we're Christians, you know, but why rock the boat? Why disturb the peace? We are at peace with one another, you know. Everything is fine. Let's live peaceably with all men. So what happened? They conform to their surroundings. They kind of just blend in, you know. Kind of just be part and parcel of life and became just like them. You know what they did? Compromised. They slided back to their old ways. Now coming back to this church, my question for us today is this message for us. And the Lord speaking to us as a church. And if you're visiting today, the Lord speaking to you. Okay? I'll be honest with you. As I was looking through this, I said, Lord, is this the message? Did you realize I don't have to preach this? I just read this a few times for you. The Lord Jesus speaks for Himself. But I believe we want to make it clearer. I want you to notice four things that God wants to speak to us. Number one, look at verse 1. Notice firstly, His censure of the church at Sardis. The word censure has to do with a rebuke. Highlighting of a problem. Okay? Notice this in Revelation 3 verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing saith he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Jesus says, I know thy works. The word I know means I have behold, I have understood, I perceive, and I've looked at your works. The word works there is interesting because the word works means your preoccupation. In other words, Jesus is saying and looking at the church and saying, I have understood. I have surveyed and understood your preoccupation. The thought came to my mind. What are we preoccupied with? What are we as a church preoccupied with? I want us to understand this in context of the church, but you know what? Apply to your own life. What are you preoccupied with? The Lord says, I know that you're preoccupied. And then He goes on to say, I know thy works, thou hast a name. Okay, the word name literally means, okay, this is important. The word name literally means an authority or character. Okay, it literally means a reputation. Now when you think of Singapore, okay, the name of Singapore, what do you think of? When you think of Singapore, what do you think of? Cleanliness, okay, what else? Law abiding, okay, what else? Some more? Huh? What? Fine city? Depends on how you decide fine. Singapore is a fine city. When you think of Singapore, what do you think of? Listen, Singapore, the Ming, I'm just speaking a little bit of Mandarin. Why? What?
Hub for banking
and finance. Okay, okay. And what else? Very modern, okay. When you think of Singapore, you think of efficiency. Okay. You think of, what else? Efficiency, I got another E there. You think of expensive. Huh? You think of ERP? Okay. When you think of Singapore, you think of all these things. You think of satay. You think of durian, you know. What else? What do you think? Okay, now. When you think of a Christian, what do you think of? When you think of a Christian, when you say, I'm a Christian, what do you think of? A Christian should be? Huh? Holy, okay. A Christian should be honest. Okay. A Christian should be kind. Huh? Follow Christ, okay? A Christian should be a disciple of Christ. When you think of a church, what do you think of? What do you think of when you think of a church? What should a church be? Quiet place. Why? Oh. Okay. All right. What else? What else? When you think of a church? Some people will think of a building, yeah? Okay, church means we must, the traditional church must have this steeple, right? Then they have this bell, yeah? Okay, what else? When you think of a church, what do you think of?
Fellowship,
okay. It's very hard to think of a church, huh? God's family, okay? So you have all these thoughts coming to you, right? No, so when the Lord Jesus Christ actually said, I know you, what you are doing, and you claim that you have a name. Sardis, Church of Sardis, you claim that you have a name. The word name means a reputation. That means that Jesus actually says, I know and perceive that you have a reputation, that you are alive. The Bible says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest. In other words, you claim to be alive. You claim to have all the work. You are a Christian. You are serving. You know what's the conclusion of God? When people think the church at Sardis, what was the name? They had a reputation, they were alive, they were active for God. The conclusion of God for the church at Sardis, I want to make it clear first, the church at Sardis, the Lord Jesus says that you have a name, but you are decaying. Because the word dead means necros. In the Greek, it means necrotic or decaying. Actually, I wanted to buy a piece of meat, okay, and then let it in my table for 2 days, and then I bring it here as an object illustration of what it means to decay. Imagine decay means what? Lan, is it? Is it? What? Fulan. What? Fulan. Okay, it means the meat will actually, and then it will have friends coming out from the meat also, right? Friends, right? And they will give off a smell, right? That was what Jesus saw at that church. Now, the church at Sardis appeared to be alive, but in fact, according to the Lord, decaying. You have a reputation, church at Sardis, of godliness, but you are decaying from the inside. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Do you know of any churches like this? That church is a social hub where people come and just enjoy themselves, but there's no life change. And the Lord is saying this, look church at Sardis, you have a form of godliness, but you have no power. Can I apply this personally? Sometimes we call ourselves Christians, but is there change? You know, some non-Christians may look at Christians and say, if that is a Christian, then why am I a Christian? You and I the same. I smoke, you smoke. I drink, you drink. I go parties, you go parties. I lie, you lie. I steal, you steal. So why should I be a Christian? You know, a Christian means there is a change. Can I say this? If you are not a believer, you have not trusted Christ. The Lord came to change our lives. Did you know that? Because God knew that if we will continue the way we go, we will be headed for destruction. Our lives will become corrupted worse and worse. Those in the church camp, we talk about the fact in terms of personality. We were all made in the... Man is all made in the image of God. You realize that when God breathed into man, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, His breath of life, He not only gave eternal life, or rather immortal life, to the person, but He also put in His character and His personality. That's why God is love, right? Can you love? We can love. All of us can love. Whether you are a Christian or not, you can love someone. You can love ice cream. Some people love animals more than they love men. Right? We will be more faithful in feeding our cat. We have one lady underneath our block. Without fail, morning and night, she will come at the same place and she will do the same thing. She will put the cat. He won't call the cat by name. Alright, I don't know what to call it. He actually calls the cat by name. And it's not her cat. But she will spend time just doing that. And it is nothing to her that she is throwing all the things and polluting the environment. I actually spoke to an NEA guy. I said, what if we know someone who is doing this? And so the guy said, this is for your education. Alright, you say if he put the food there and the animal finishes it, then he's not polluting the environment. Okay? That means it's not littering. Okay? But what she also does is she feeds the birds. You know how she feeds the birds? She will take this and then she'll throw. And whatever pigeons and whatever come, they just eat. You know, of course, at the end, there's some leftovers, okay? But of course, we don't eat. Now, so, we can love because we are made in the image of God. But when men sin, corruption set in. Then we begin to love someone and we hate someone. Does that make sense? Corruption means I begin to be more selfish in my personality. I would love one person that I choose, but I will hate someone that I don't choose. Why? Because he never built me up. He never said good things about me, so I hate him. Or he did bad things, so I hate him. But then God is love. His image is love. But sin corrupted that. Over time, you realize one thing, corruption. You know, we can have... So, what happened was, God put His character in us. But when sin came in, our personality changed. You know what's different between personality and character? Personality is what people see. Character is who you are. I say that again. Personality is what people see. Character is who you are. And how many of you agree with me? Many times our personality and our character are different. You know why that is? That's corruption. We don't want people to really see who we are. And so we put up a set of different ways of reacting in public. We dress nicely, we speak nicely. Have you ever been in a situation whereby you're just sitting there and this person was arguing, and suddenly a phone ring and say, hello? How many of you have done that? Know that situation. You're arguing, shouting at one another, the phone rings. Say, oh, hi, how are you? Long time no see. Hi, how are you? Oh, no, so don't worry about that. No, my leg pain only. You know why? Corruption. corruption. It's corruption of the sinful nature. Okay? It's funny, right? But you know, that's what exactly the Lord says. I know your works. I know your works. Can I say this? No one can hide before God. Because God says, I know your works. That you have a name, that you are living but are dead. Censure number one, God says, hey, you have a reputation of godliness but you are decaying. Censure number two, look at verse number two. There's another part that God says, why are you decaying? The Bible says in Revelation 3 verse 2, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. The word perfect there is very important. The word perfect, listen, the word perfect means incomplete, lots of holes, no influence. In other words, when you do a work, church, there's no influence. Not satisfactory, poorly executed, unfinished, cannot be authenticated, the work is not accomplished, imperfect, poor in supply. You know what Jesus says? Church of Sardis, your work is not satisfactory. Your work has no influence. Your work is incomplete. Your work has lots of holes. Your work is not satisfactory. In other words, if I sit with my boss, I won't get a bonus. Does that ring a bell? In other words, when I sit with my boss, I will have neat improvement. Maybe follow by a warning letter. Censure number two that Jesus gave. The church at Sardis have works, but their works were not of acceptable quality before God. Question that I ask myself, not yet, Lord, are our works of acceptable quality to you? Christian, is your Christian life and your work of acceptable quality to God? You know, the Lord speaks in the last days, Church of Sardis, I have not found your works perfect before me. When you come to worship, do you prepare our hearts on Saturday or you play computer games? Oh, Brother Johnny, how come you know? I was very naive until Brother Jacob enlightened me. I asked him this question. I don't think he even remember. Many, I think 1 or 2 years ago, I said, how many people actually play computer games? Brother Johnny, you don't know, man. Almost 99.99999999% of people play computer games. Would that be true? Would that be true? Don't know. Would that be true? Let me ask you a question. Okay, those young people, or maybe adults, in your free time, when you have a handphone, what do you do with it? Huh? Okay, some people may do other things. Read the Bible. What do you do? What do you have? Smartphones. You know, do we play more computer games compared to reading God's Word? Is your works perfect before God? When we prepare our hearts on, do we prepare our hearts on Saturday or watch the late night movies? or we cannot sleep because we were doing other things. Do we pray or do we play? When we prepare for our ministry and service, is it a last-minute preparation or is it hard preparation? I want to be sensitive to this. I know that in pressurized Singapore, sometimes it is hard for Christians who really want to serve God. I find it very hard sometimes to preach a message like this because I know, because I worked before, I'm still working, that sometimes it's hard to spend that time. But you know what? When God says, hey, Johnny, I've not found thy works perfect before me. God has to convict my heart about this. Christians, I bring it across. Are we obeying Christ in the simple things, such as baptism and church membership? Are our children seeing our lives before the Lord consistent or inconsistent? Do we teach them one thing and then we do something else? Do we say you have to behave this way and we do it another way? Is our works perfect before God? What should we do? Notice secondly, Christ's counsel to the church. Revelation chapter 3 verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Some of you may say, Brother Johnny, you've already cut. You know what? God has to convict my heart first. because the message is for the pastor, this message. But when I share with you, I want us to think, Lord, is it I? Remember when Jesus at the Last Supper, and Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me. How did the apostles respond? They all asked one another, right? Is it I? Remember? The apostles, is it I? You know what we need to do today? Say, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Lord, are you speaking to me? Lord, are you speaking to our church? Is it I? Jesus tells us, if God is convicting your heart now, this is His counsel, number one. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. There are a few things there. Number one, you need to be. The word be is a call to action. In other words, you cannot be satisfied with the way you are. No business as usual. Not business as usual. Alright? Arise to action. The first A there, I think you may have. Arise to action. We need to arise to action. Okay? Are we lethargic in our Christian life? Are we committed to the Christian life? We need to be. We need to do something. Number one. Number two, we need to be watchful. Be watchful. Have the action of watching. The word watching there means to keep awake. The word watching means to keep awake. Hello? The word watching means to keep awake. Keep awake. Be alert. Are we sleeping in our Christian lives? You know, what happens when you sleep? Have you ever seen people who sleep and then there's a puddle of water beside them? There was one time many, many years ago when I was 13 years old. How many of you are 13 years old? Yeah, okay, Singhui is 13. When I was 13 years old, I got saved, Emmanuel Baptist Fellowship, I was there. And I had this blue bag. Last time it was the trend, the blue bag. It's like this, okay? And then there's a flap, and then you know those knobs that turn, okay? The quality, of course, my mom is a single mother because my dad passed away. And so I'll carry the bag to school and I'll carry the bag to church. Okay, and so one day, because church was, I was staying in Topayo, and then the church is in Siglap. You know Siglap? So the distance is pretty far. We take 155. Remember the number 155? Some people still remember 155, long, long time ago. Okay, and I would sleep, and on the way home, I would, then I'll go back, and this blue patch on my face, because the saliva will start to come down, you know, when you see it all. You know why when you sleep and you're so tired, the saliva will drop? Because your muscles are sleeping too. Generally, when you sleep, just go for speech therapy, okay? Generally, when you are alert, you know, sometimes you swallow your saliva. You know why? Because saliva will well up in your mouth. And so the muscles actually helps to push it down. And so, but if you are sleeping, you become... How many of you know of people when they sleep, even an earthquake cannot wake them up? Huh? You have to kick them. How many parents use the cane to wake up your children? Huh? How many? Don't be shy. Because when we sleep, we become insensitive. You know why God says be watchful? The word watchful means are we sleeping? When we are asleep spiritually, we become insensitive to things happening around us. Are we allowing sin into our lives? Are we watching sin? Are we watching the filthy rock and roll, American Idol? You know, parents, if you sit there and watch and just and let those people, we will not introduce, we will not we'll let those people sing those songs. We'll let those people dress the way they are, and our children will walk around playing as if nothing is happening. Huh? Children are always, listen parents, children are always, 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 always looking. Always. Always. That's why it's so hard sometimes for parents to reach their own children. There was a survey done of youth in America. And in the survey, they were surveying Christian youth who left church. Two of the reasons they cite, I've mentioned it before, I mentioned it again. Two reasons they cite of why they left church. Number one, the inconsistent lifestyle of their youth leaders. And number two, the inconsistent lifestyle of their parents. Not because of the church preaching, not because of doctrine, not because these two inconsistencies. That when we face life as Christian parents, we say we are Christian parents, but we don't follow Christ. And why in the world is mom and dad asking me to follow someone they are not following? Be watchful, Christian. Are we letting things slip by playing computer games? Are we sleeping? God says, be watchful, arise to action, awake from sleep. And number three, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. The word strengthen comes from two Greek words. Simply means to establish stiffly. How many of you know it's lembe? Soft. Have you seen people who are really soft? Hello, how are you doing? You know? They're very soft, you know. The wind blow, they fly, the kind of thing. They're soft. You know what God says? You need to stiffen up. You need to have some character. You need to say, yes, in the past, I used to be like this, but you know, if God says I need to be like this, I'm going to be awake. I'm going to be awake. All right? I think it was on Friday night, I think. I mentioned, you know, I had this thing here. Am I here? You know, in my face, I had this. Can you see the red thing here? Can you see? Yeah, red light. You know why it's there? Because Saturday we had a men's meeting. Men's meeting is 8 a.m. Thank God for a man who was able to get up. And I know it's hard to get up at that time, but you know, come just to be at men's meeting. So I got up a bit earlier because I need to prepare. And I was half asleep when I was shaving. Okay? After I got here, I remember I stiffened up. Hey, after that, I'm awake already. Because I cut myself. And then after that, I said, I better be careful. Otherwise, I will have a lot of plaster all over my face. You know, sometimes, what does it take to wake us up so that we'll be ready and strengthen the things that remain? You know what Jesus said? Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You know, this thing about ready to die, the last phrase there is scary for me. As I studied the word, it means this. The things that actually have a direction of death. The intention, whatever that has been left there, already has a destiny of death. Jesus has already given the prognosis. If nothing is done, it will die. Okay? Now, there was one time, this was when I started working at KK Rehab Department. I was a type of therapist. I graduated, supposed to be a professional. So I graduated, and I had this guy, his name is Ben. Ben is a therapy assistant. Our setup was a bit like this, quite small. You know what we did during lunchtime? We played soccer. Professional therapist playing soccer with the therapy assistant in the clinic. You know, hardly a professional type of presentation. I started work in February because I finished army in January. And then, when I came back from my convocation, in October, when I had my evaluation, my boss said this, your job is on the line. I said, why? Because your supervisor say you fail. Immediately, I think $176,000. Because that was the cost of my bond. Because if I am sacked, or if anything happens that will affect my bond, I don't perform up to standard, they can sack me and I have to pay the bond. You know what I did? How many of you think that I'll continue to play soccer during my lunchtime? I had to make some decisions. I had to make very firm decisions. My boss, she's a nice lady. She actually told me the first line when I sat down with her, with my supervisor, senior supervisor, the first line she said, Johnny, your job is on the line. I was silent for a while. I said, what do you mean? Then I look at my appraisal by my supervisor. Okay, I wasn't doing very well. You know, at the end of that, I'm thankful. You know what? I'm thankful. What my boss did, I believe what the Lord Jesus does. I'm not comparing. She's not a Christian. But my boss told my supervisor, Johnny is your 100% priority for the next 3 months. You will help him. You will do all you can to supervise him. Okay? And thank God for that. But at the same time, I found out it was my supervisor who sabotaged me. Anyway, that's another story. Okay? But you know, I had to make some decisions. The first decision I told God is this. Lord, from the next patient that I'm going to see, I will put in everything I have into it. I will ask questions when I don't, because I was kind of playful. I will ask questions when I have to. I will do my best. I will make sure my notes are written properly. I will make sure I do teamwork. I make sure I do very well. That really, I didn't tell my wife. Did you know? I probably told her. But thank God for support and all that. But you know what? Those 3 months to 6 months, it was horrifying. Because my job is on the line. It's still rung in my ears now. Why? Because it was something that the boss said, your job is on the line. What if Jesus comes and says, your church is on the line? What would you do? Christians, your Christian life is on the line. You're going to lose it all. Jesus perhaps is looking ahead and say, because you're not doing this, what's going to happen is your children is going to walk away from God. You're going to have a cursed life in terms of your words. You're going to have a corrupted life. Oh yeah, career and all that is going to, but you're going to walk away from me. Your background is going to, the future doesn't look very nice. That's what Jesus is saying here in the Church of Sardis. What things are ready to die in your life? Your Bible reading? Is it possible that some of our Bible reading has already died? How many of you, every Sunday you come here and you see me banging that? You know why? Because that is the key to your successful life. Did you know that? Is your Bible reading dead now? But maybe that's why problems are coming in. That's what Jesus means. Strengthen the things that remain. Is your prayer life dead? Do you have a prayer life? Children, you're not too young to pray. Children, can I challenge you? You go home. You tell mommy that, Daddy, mommy, don't disturb me from 7:45 to 8 o'clock. I will be praying like Daniel 3 times a day. Not just before you eat your food. Huh? Do you think you can go back and do that? Because if you don't do that, you'll never do it. You know why? Corrupted, selfish nature doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to communicate with God. You've got to strengthen the things that remain. Is your witnessing dying out? I thank God. You realize why we have visitors? Because people care enough. Do we care enough? What about your track thing? Is it ready to die? Your zeal for God. Your fire for God. Your ministry. What ministry do you have? Is there a ministry in your life? Is it ready to die? Your love for your church, the brethren, and your work, your love for souls. You know, when the Lord Jesus actually read, when I read this, how are you supposed to respond to this? When God, the King of the universe, looks at me, Johnny, I do not find your works perfect before me. Is the Lord speaking to us today? Why do we have to all this? Because why? God says, I'm not finding your work perfect before me. It simply means that if you do not do anything about your spiritual condition, you will waste away, you will die. The church will die, your spiritual life will wither, and we will become useless. Oh Christian, don't come to the stage where you are just a statistic of Satan's strategies, whereby your family is destroyed because you do not want to follow God. Don't make your children look back because of mom and dad. Don't allow this to happen. Some of you who may not be Christians. Say, I don't care. There's a way that simmers right. See how the devil comes in? There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Oh, if God wants you to walk in a certain direction, don't move away. Because God in love is calling us to that. Oh, Christian, please, listen to the counsel of Christ. Don't play a fool. Because what affects you, Brother Roy learned firsthand. I shared with him, I was talking to him on Friday. Now he realized, or rather, I'm sure he learned before, what that guy who smoked and smuggled cigarettes into his bunk, okay, thinking that it's just for himself, guess what? The entire platoon got it, right? And that's why the officer had to say, well, even Roy, who did not do wrong, have to be searched too. Huh? Why is it in the natural life it happens and we as Christians say, it's my life, what? You know, it's my life before God, it's none of your business. Can I say this? How you live your life affects someone else. It always affects someone else. Always, 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 always. The Indonesian lady's body in the water tank, block 6B in Woodlands. Huh? The body was there. It was just this man who murdered her, threw her inside. Guess who she affected? She affected all the residents. She affected the town council and caused a conflict between the town council and the residents. Huh? What you do affects someone else. Children, what you do affect your parents' heart. Do you realize, children, you can break your parents' heart because you do not live for God? I'm helping the parents. But parents, help the children have a reason to live for God. I say that kindly. We have to listen in these last days when church people are just playing church. People are just kind of, I'm a Christian, so am I, just do what I want. No, Jesus says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain which are ready to die because I have not found your works perfect before me. What else does God counsel us to do? Verse number 3, remember therefore how thou hast received. Remember your salvation. Christians, if you are saved, remember the time that you lived for God. That you are on fire. They say, well, I'm going to decide to serve God, you know. Some of you have decided to serve God, but today you're not. You know why? Because Satan has come in quietly with distractions and all kinds of reasons so that you don't do what is right. God says, you remember. Remember the time how you received and how you heard. You know what God says? Remember the times that you got saved, how you heard, received, and hold fast. Hang on to your salvation. Hang on to that because in the last days, many people are going to come and try to pull it away from you. Young people, serve God with all your hearts now. Remember thy Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. There will come a time, children, that you will find that you don't like to live anymore. You don't want to wake up. You know why? Wake up means, I must go to work. I must see my boss. Yesterday, I think it was Auntie Jenna, someone who shared that she had a friend who said, oh, Auntie Jenna, I don't like Mondays. How many of you don't like Mondays? Oh, the first day of the week, for your information, Monday is not the first day of the week. Sunday is. That's why you come to church on the first day of the week to prepare for the rest of the week. You put God first. Understand? Hey, that's important. And of course, Auntie Jenna was telling her, well, just pray for the rapture and so everything will be fine. You know? But you know what? While we are remaining, while God is still allowing us to live on this earth, strengthen the things. Remember your salvation. Christian, there is, you know, people can take away your house, they can take away your CPF, they can take away your money, they can never take away your salvation, amen? No matter what happens to you, you will be in heaven because you are a Christian. God will not allow that to happen because He has preserved us. Remember, therefore, the time, how you receive, hold fast, and repent. You know, one of the hardest things for... Do you realize when we get saved, what's the first thing you need to do? We need to repent. We need to change our mind about sin. If you're not a Christian today, the first thing you need to do is to realize sin is sin and sin is a terrible thing. And when you change your mind and say, hey, actually, God is right. I'm wrong. If I continue in my drugs, if I continue with those bad friends, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to end up like them. You know, you may have a group of friends that drink with you and do all kinds of things with you, but when you're in jail alone. Agree? You know how the devil tricks us into finding these things are good? No. You know what God wants you to do? Change your mind. Do you realize as you become a Christian, you have to change your minds about a lot of things. Still. So that God can move us is God speaking to us, counseling us to arise to action. Can I ask you a question? What has changed in your last 2 weeks of Christian life? Have you made any decisions in the last 2 weeks of your Christian life? If you haven't, God says, arise to action. Satan is at work, even though Christians are not. Did you know that? Satan was at work for over 30 years to get the IR into Singapore, and he succeeded. As much as we have a council for gambling, still many families are still broken. How many of you read in the forum whereby one mom or one wife wrote and said, I want an exclusion order for my husband, and I found out when I applied to it, I got to wait 2 weeks. You know how much money my husband can lose in 2 weeks? They will say, please, at least get a temporary exclusion order until you finalize that. How many Singaporeans' families, how many migrant workers come in, saving thousands of dollars? You know, this Indian worker of Bangladeshi, he had over $3,000 worth of savings, lost it in one day. How many of you read the newspaper article about that? Satan works very hard. Very, very hard. Even when Christians don't. Are we alert and watchful in our Christian life? What areas are dying? Are we still loving? Are we still having our first love, or have we left it? Are we willing to repent of the areas that God is speaking to us about? I want you to notice the consequences. If Sardis will not repent, Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, if therefore thou shalt not watch, God gave us a choice. If is conditional. If you will not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. It doesn't talk about the rapture. It talks about sudden destruction and judgment. Proverbs 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. If you are a Christian and you are here, if you are listening to the word of God, and you are doing something privately in your life that you know you are not supposed to do, God says, I will keep on telling you, one day, you will suddenly be destroyed. Can I say this? I'm not threatening you. That's what the Bible says. And God doesn't play games with His... God is faithful to His good promises, but God is also faithful to His judgments. The Lord says that He is, He will come suddenly. In Judges 16, verse 20, I think you have that. And He said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go as the other times before. All of you know the story of Samson, not this one. Okay, the Samson in the Bible, thank God this Samson is saved, and hope he will be walking with God. But no, the Samson in the Bible, he was a Nazarite, right? He took a Nazarite vow. He's not supposed to cut off his hair. He's not supposed to touch dead carcasses. And he's not supposed to drink alcohol. Do you realize he broke all three? He broke all three? But do you realize one thing? Can I say this? There were three things as a Nazarite that he was not supposed to do. When he firstly broke the first one, when he took drink, God's Spirit stayed with him. When he touched the dead carcass of the lion, God's Spirit stayed with him. But when he pushed God to the ultimate limit, you want to break all my laws, and he told Delilah, you cut off my hair, my strength will be gone. God said, that's the final straw. And the Bible says, Judges 16:20, God left him. Thank God in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit stays with us. But can I say this, Christians, you will no longer have the power in your Christian life. You can have works and you can have a name. You can have the reputation. But God says you are decaying from the inside. You know why? The corrupting nature then takes over. When the Holy Spirit wants to come in, you push it out, and so the corruption continues. And that's why our families get worse. That's why our relationships get worse. That's why our bad habits get worse. That's why our thoughts get worse. Why? Because we allow the corruption to come in. God says, strengthen the things that remain. There was this guy, he was a backslider. He wrote a story. You know, he was a young man. And as a young man, he was a very good engineer. You could give him anything, he could do it. He had one secret problem. He loves to drink. Initially in his story, this is a story that was I read, and he would confine his drinking to the weekends. What happens was, he began to realize, he's the type of person who cannot sit still, right? Are you that kind of person who cannot sit still? You have always do something, right? And so he couldn't stay put and just do work and then get a paycheck. So he decided to go to the city. It was in England. So he went to the city, he got a big job, to the point that the boss, he was so good in his job that the boss trusted him so much that he could work from home. Because he was able to perform and all that. You know, over time, with so much free time, there were a lot of exposure to temptation as well. And what happened? He began to drink. And when he began to drink, what happened was it began to downgrade again. He realized that, hey, I got to do something about this. So he did something. He married a wife. And that was okay for a while because his wife kept him straight. He was still at this big job until his secret drinking became a problem to the point that his wife couldn't take it anymore. After 3 or 4 years left him. And he realized, hey, something wrong with me. He went into an institution, tried to get some help. A doctor came and spoke to him and tried to encourage. You know, sometimes, you know, the worldly ways of trying to break an addiction is, oh, you got to try to do this and do this. There was a guy who came in, another guy who says, hey, I've been there. I was an alcoholic. I realized that it was my corrupt nature that was taking over. You know what? This person counseled him. Your problem is not just your addiction. Your problem is that you are living your own selfish life, fulfilling your own selfish lust, and you are unwilling to surrender to God. But when you are willing to do that, things will start to change. That person took it for a while and said, nah, I don't. But you know what? Over time, he realized that his problem was getting worse. Finally, he said, God, I surrender. What happened was he began to join in the fellowship of a group that encouraged him to do right and submit to God. And you know what? The months following became better. He began to realize, hey, when I submit to God, my old flesh doesn't take over. And so after attending the fellowship for a while, he was encouraged and he felt, listen to this, he felt that he was good enough to stand on his own. What verse comes to your mind? 1 Corinthians 10:12, a man thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And what happened was he decided, okay, I'm fine now. I'm out of my trouble. I don't have to go back to the fellowship. I don't need encouragement. I can do it. Guess what happened over the next few weeks? Right back to where he started. And he wrote in his book, when I started to think that I could stand on my own, that was my first step to going back to the old ways. And that was what happened. Can I say this? When we decide that we can control our lives, the consequences start. Let me ask you a question. Do you know if God left you? Christians? Would you know? The Bible says in Judges 16:20, Samson said, and I will go as at other times and shake myself, and he knew not, wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Would you know in your Christian life if God left you? I'm not saying that he will leave you, but I'm saying that what if, say, I'm going to withdraw my power from you. I cannot fellowship with you anymore. The God becomes a stranger to you. You know, thus far, it's been quite serious mind. And I hope you will take note to God's counsel here. But I want you to notice, number 4, notice the comfort for the faithful in Sardis. Verse 4. You know, in this verse, I just share with you that how our Lord Jesus Christ is very careful in His message to judge those that needs to be judged and to encourage those that needs to be encouraged. He says, thou hast a few names. Even in Sardis, even in a place of compromise, which have not defiled their garments, in every church there will be people who say, no, I'm not going to follow what the world does. I will stand firm on what God does, no matter how hard it is. And thank God an ambassador there is. I don't know who you are. Can I give you 3 comfort? Number 1, God knows your name. Because the Bible says, thou hast a few names. Which means God can identify who are the people that have not defiled their garments. God knows your name. And you know what that's encouraging? Because sometimes when we serve God and things are not, and we serve but other people don't serve or whatever, we begin to gripe, we begin to complain, we begin to do all kinds of things and say, God, why? What's the point, God? I'm not getting what I want. God says, that's your problem. You want something that you want. You serve God because you love God. And there are some Christians who say, God, I'll serve you no matter what. God is hard, but I'll still serve you. God says, I know your name. I know your name. In the crisis time, you need to have a name. You know why? Because that name will identify you of being in the group. I think you've heard of stories whereby people may be rushing towards a place of safety, for example, and you need to actually register. When you run there and say, hey, I put my name down already, and then maybe you go on a hotel reservation, for example, and then you go there and say, I made a reservation 2 weeks ago, they'll be coming and say, sorry, your name. Like, what do you mean my name is not there? I called already. There may become miscommunication or what, but your name is not there. You know what that means? You don't have a place to stay. But you know what? God knows your name. Amen? Christians, God knows your name. Can I encourage those who are faithfully serving God to keep on serving God, because God knows your name. Now, I have a few names. Number one, God also knows not only your personal name, God also knows your purity. These are the people in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. You have kept God's name in purity in your heart, keeping your heart pure in your mind. You are not willing to entertain the evil thoughts and in your works. Can I say this? You know what's the implication of this? God knows those who have not defiled their garments. It means this: your faithfulness is known by God by your works, and not by your intentions only. You can intend to do right, but if you don't do it, it doesn't count. When we stand before God, God says, where's your works? Well, God, I intended to be faithful. Then God says, why weren't you? Oh, God, I intended to do this. Well, why didn't you? You cannot go to an evaluation with your boss. Your boss said, I'm sorry, you planned this in your KPI the last time, the key performance indicators. You're supposed to do this. But actually, I intended to do that, you know. Then your boss will say, what? But you didn't do it. Does that make sense? Because God says, I know those names who have not defiled their garments. So I said, Brother Johnny, you must understand the compromise. I understand the compromise, but God still say, I know you who have not defiled their garments. God will still judge us based on whether we do it or whether we don't do it. Does that make sense? And God made it clear. Your faithfulness is known by your works and not by what you think or plan. Hebrews 6 verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Matthew 10 verse 42, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, shall in no wise lose his reward. Matthew 25 verse 40, and the king shall say unto them, on the left hand, right hand, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these brethren, ye have done it unto me. God knows your purity, Christians. And number three, God pronounces you worthy. The Bible says, Revelation 3, 4, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. This is a comfort for those people who are remaining faithful. Finally, notice the call from God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The question for us is, are our works perfect before God? Are our works perfect? You know, can I just say this as a church? I do believe God has given us some influence in our work. But God reminds us, hey, I know your works. There are certain things that are not perfect. I want you to strengthen those things. You know, if you're here today and say, Brother Johnny, this doesn't relate to me. I don't have, you're talking about the church. Can I say this? God is also speaking to you. One day, every one of us will need to stand before a holy God. And if God says, remember 26th of June 2011, you attended Ambassador Baptist Church, and I spoke through God's word, and I said to you, I have not found your works perfect before me. What is your response? If you are here and say, Brother Johnny, I will never be a Christian because I have other beliefs. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man absolute negative in the Greek, no. Absolute negation, absolute negative participle. No man cometh unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. It's not religion, it's not Ambassador Baptist Church, it's through Jesus Christ. Only Christ can bring you to heaven. If you're not saved today, you need to be. For Christians, can I sing you a song? That will keep you awake, right? I'll just finish off with this. I remember the time when I first knew the Savior. When the sunlight of blessing so flooded my heart. Oh, the sweetness of first love with Jesus so near me. And I thought such devotion would never depart. Then how sweet were the scriptures they spoke to me daily. How they guided my steps, but my zeal did not last. And the sweet place of prayer where I met with my Savior, I neglected. And so soon my joys were all past. Let the sun shine again. Let the flowers bloom again. Stir the embers of love in my heart. Holy Spirit, reprove. Then embrace me again. Let the sun shine again in my heart. Oh, I love to walk in the way with God's children. When we met with glad heart in a fellowship sweet. But the pull of the flesh and some worldly companions in the path of sin's pleasure attracted my feet. Lord, I come now again for forgiveness and blessing. As thy penitent child, I am seeking thy peace. For the blood paid my debt and thy spirit within me bids me come to my Father, my wandering to cease. Let the sun shine again. Let the flowers bloom again. Stir the embers of love in my heart. Holy Spirit, reprove. Then embrace me again. Let the sun shine. You cannot continue in your sin. Can I beg you to surrender to Christ? Can I beg you to say like the prodigal son, Luke 15:18, I will rise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And am no more worthy to be called as. Are your works perfect before God? If you are a Christian today, I believe with all of my heart God is speaking to you. If you are not a Christian, can I just say this as gently as I can? If you do not receive Christ as your Savior, you will have no hope of eternal life unless you come to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we pray and thank you for this time. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to touch us in a special way. Lord, it is not in your intention, I believe, as you speak to the church at Sardis to condemn. But Lord, your will is to discipline us and perhaps rebuke us that we might come clean with you again. Oh God, draw us with your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, draw us with your love. Father, we are not satisfied with our status quo. God, we want to grow. And Father, I pray and I ask for one, Lord, who is
in sin. Or one who is doing things, Father, or just perhaps walking away. And God, maybe our works are just not perfect before you. And then God, you have spoken to us. Oh God, you've got to change us. Father, we will. We want to respond to you today with eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I say that many times. Don't let this be an emotional response. But if God is speaking to your heart, if God says, you, God has to speak to my heart first. And that's why, and I believe God wants to speak to us. If you're here to say, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me. It won't be long. I just want you to do this. Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you and ask God that you will do business with God. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. God, you have spoken to me. Yes, I can see that hand. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. That hand too. Are your works perfect before God? Anyone else? Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Don't. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Three hands. Amen. That hand too. Four. Let God be the Lord of your life. Why do you fight with someone who loves you? Is there anyone else? Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you. But you have to do business with God. You have to say, God, this is one area I need to surrender. This one area I need to strengthen. This one area I need to... Can I say this? If you don't know how, you can speak to me, my wife, or someone who cares. We are not on the journey by yourself. You're on a journey with God's people. We walk together. We walk together in love. Anyone else? Brother Johnny, pray for me. Is there anyone else? Can I ask you a question? Are you obedient to God completely in your life? Is there some areas of your life that you find that I've just got to obey God? It could be in baptism. It could be in church membership. It could be whatever. And say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to be faithful in the little things. Is there anyone else? I need to be faithful in the little things. Is there anyone? My test. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Anyone else? No, when you put up your hand, you're meaning this with God. And God wants to change our life. And with God's change, it's that blessing. But you've got to come first. Is there anyone else? And one last question. If you're here today and you do not know, if you die right now, you will be in heaven. Can I say this? Jesus loves you so much that even though you don't know about Him, I shared last week, I spoke to a lady from Malacca in Mandarin. He had never heard that Jesus Christ. He had never heard the name, and it was my privilege to at least share with her the good news that Jesus Christ died. You have an opportunity now. The Lord Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You're not going to go to heaven except by Him. We don't want your money. We don't want whatever. We just want to share with you the great news that Jesus Christ died so that you can have life. Is there anyone say, Brother Johnny, I don't know about Jesus, but I want to find out more. Is there anyone like that? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. And I pray especially for the Christians who have put up their hands. Lord, in a time like this, in a setting like this, I believe with all of my heart, the Holy Spirit moves, moving quietly in people's hearts through the Word. Father, I pray that you will strengthen everyone who has put up their hands to resolve, Lord, to make a decision. I will not go back that path. I will strengthen the things that remain. I will be alert and watchful, because I know if I don't do anything, it is moving towards destruction. Oh, Father, I pray for those people who have never trusted Christ too. I ask that you open their hearts in a special way. That God, you will give these souls no peace until they find the peace in Christ. Because you are the only Prince of Peace. In the world, Father, we have so much things that will trouble us. But we thank you that if the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, lives in our hearts, we don't have to worry. Father, I pray for these people who have never trusted Christ. I pray that you will help them to find Christ, please. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. You know we cannot force them. But God, I pray that you will move in their hearts, that they would respond. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray once again as a church. Father, I ask for your forgiveness. And God, by your grace, I resolve, even as shepherd, to strengthen the things that remain. And that God as a whole, we will do the same for your honor and glory. simply because we love you, Lord. And you deserve all our praise. You deserve all our effort. And you deserve all our honor. And God will thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, once again, bless us with your richest blessings as we depart from this place. Once again, Lord, we give you the praise for what you're going to do in our lives. May we be changed by your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.